Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome, sports enthusiasts, to the podcast that keeps you connected to all the thrilling action happening in Salt Lake City. Get ready to dive deep into the heart of Real Salt Lake with the very best podcast on the KSL Sports Network. I'm thrilled to introduce you, your dynamic hosts, Andy, Alex, Joshua, and Isaac, who are here to bring you the latest news, analysis, and captivating discussions surrounding one of Salt Lake City's most beloved sports teams. Andy, with his encyclopedic knowledge of the team's history, guides us through the rich tapestry of Real Salt Lake's triumphs and challenges. His passion for the game is infectious, and his insights provide a deeper understanding of the club's journey. Alex, the charismatic storyteller, weaves narratives that transports listeners right onto the pitch. With his vivid descriptions and captivating anecdotes, he paints a vivid picture of the team's moments of triumph and heartache, making you feel like you're in the midst of the action. Joshua, the analytical mastermind, dissects every play, every strategy, and every statistic, leaving no stone unturned. His sharp intellect and attention to detail unravel the intricacies of the game, providing fans with a deeper appreciation of the tactics employed by Real Salt Lake. Lastly, Isaac, the voice of the fans, brings the pulse of the city into every episode. His unwavering devotion to the team reflects the sentiments of Salt Lake City's passionate supporters. With his fan perspective, he adds an element of authenticity and camaraderie that resonates with listeners who bleed Real Salt Lake's colors. Together, oh my God, this is so long. Together, Andy, Alex, Joshua, and Isaac form an unstoppable team, delivering the most comprehensive coverage of Real Salt Lake you'll find anywhere in Salt Lake City. Week after week, they bring you exclusive interviews, in-depth analysis, and insider insights that leave you hungry for more. So whether you're a diehard supporter, a casual fan, or someone eager to explore the fascinating world of soccer, join us as we celebrate the highs, analyze the lows, and unravel the magic that surrounds Real Salt Lake. Get ready to experience the very best podcast Salt Lake City has to offer. Get ready for an unforgettable journey into the world of Real Salt Lake. Welcome to the pinnacle of Salt Lake City soccer podcasts. Oh my
God. Wow. Why was it so long?
Yeah, it's okay, GPT, to shorten that up a bit, huh?
That introduction was brought to you by ChatGPT, guys. We just asked it, hey, can you write us an intro for the best RSL Real Salt Lake podcast? And that's what it had to say. Oh my, dude, I'm like winded. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to pass out. How is everybody? What's up? How's everyone doing?
You know, I was good until I heard ChatGPT.
Yeah.
No, it was too kind to us. Far too kind.
Yeah, did you guys agree with what it had to say about you guys?
Not at all. No. I think it had some of us make it up.
Mine was pretty accurate.
Or, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Yeah, Isaac's was pretty accurate on the voice of the fans.
The pulse of the city.
Wow. Oh, dude, that took it out of me, man. If you guys like that ChatGPT intro, we can read it every episode if you guys are down. Let us know, tweet at us, IG at us, as always, everybody, welcome to the podcast on KSL Sports Network. I'm Andy Munoz. We got Alex Napolis, Isaac Munoz, and Joshua Clark. We're doing this, remote today, and, we have plenty to say, plenty to talk about. First off, Real Salt Lake coming hot off a win. A full 3 points. It's been a while since we've been able to say that. Go ahead. Josh, you confused?
Momentarily I was, yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to elaborate in your face?
No. I completely forgot about, like, my timeline was off. You know, I was thinking we were talking about LA for some reason, but it's the other Wednesday.
Yeah, it's the other Wednesday. Yeah,
I'm just confused. Ignore me. We did win in Austin. Yes. Three points. Right. You are correct. Yes.
That's right. Real, you do your confusion. I thought I was wrong for. I was like, wait. I'm like, okay, this something's got to be off. No, but yeah, Real Salt Lake wins in Austin, and actually, all of you guys were wrong. Your guys' predictions were wrong. Nobody here in this room was correct. I was the only optimist saying that we would draw, but we got away with a 2-1 win. Josh, go ahead, bro. What are your thoughts?
I wasn't completely wrong.
That's true. That's true. He got something very right in that one.
What did you say?
I said Rubin somehow scores. And look what happens. 2 goals. I'll take it. That's all on me. You're welcome, Rubio Rubin. You're welcome.
A lot of people taking credit for Rubio Rubin's goals online. That's something that we haven't seen for a minute. And he's probably used to making like another $1 million because he scores a few times, right? So I think we all remember the pay bump that he got from
the bicycle kick.
Go around. Yeah, exactly.
It was like $600K. That was a $600,000 bicycle kick, man.
That was nice, man. It was nice. Let's kind of go around the room. Let's break it up. Let's talk about the RSL show's reaction. I'll start with me. I didn't think that we were going to go into Austin and pull a result. I don't think anybody in this room did. But I'm very happy to have seen what looked like a decent in-form Real Salt Lake team. Rubio Rubin's goals were definitely a shock. I think the first one goes in. We're thinking maybe, okay, this is a fluke. Things have turned around. He finally gets a goal, but then he delivers a second and basically just puts all his critics to rest and shuts them up.
Momentarily.
Going there.
What's asterisk. That? Momentarily.
Momentarily?
Critics are not quiet, right? 2 goals after you've gone, I don't know, a year without scoring. You got to do some more goals before the critics will be quiet.
Yeah, I agree. So let's kick it over to – let's start with you, Josh. You have plenty to say about Rubio Rubin and the critics. What did you think overall of the match, man? How did Real Salt Lake look in your eyes? And are you optimistic?
You know, it's – you know, again, it's one of these seasons where I want to be optimistic, right? And we can't do it at home, but we can do it on the road, which is totally backwards from any other team ever. Like, that's the weirdest thing. But at least we're getting it done somehow, right? I don't love losing at home, and I hope we can right that ship on Wednesday. But this performance against Austin FC, who, you know, isn't the best, right? They're a mid-table team, but still LA was the worst team. So it's a good win for us. It was a complete performance, in my opinion. The defense looked shaky at times, but Gavin Beavers, man, he's really solidifying that starting spot after that game. You know, so you had a big performance from him. If Rubin doesn't score a brace, Gavin Beavers gets man of the match. No question for me. It's a little crappy for him that he didn't get the shutout. But overall, a great performance from the guys. A much-needed bounce-back performance from Saturday or Wednesday, excuse me, my timeline, my Lord. Big, big bounce-back from Wednesday because Wednesday was unacceptable. So this makes me feel a lot better. Now, like we've been saying, we just need to start seeing that consistency.
Yeah, I 100% agreed. I think at this point of the season, consistency is the key. Consistency is what Real Salt Lake need. It's not fun not picking up points at home, and I think we're at that point where we need to pick up those points at home. But I'll take 11 points on the road to start the season any day of the week. I think this is probably one of the best Real Salt Lake starts, or one of the best away seasons that Real Salt Lake have had so far to start the year. I think they sit in second place of the West right now overall in points taken away from home. So really, really solid away performances. But in order to really be competitive and in order to really solidify yourself above that playoff line, you got to start picking up the 3 at home. Coming into this one, obviously coming off the loss, it was rough. The loss on Wednesday was rough, but defensively, this team has really stepped up over the course of the last couple of weeks, minus the 5 little minute spurt that LA Galaxy had here, right? But again, defensively, a huge performance. Brian Vera looked fantastic. Justin Glad looked great. Even Bodie Hidalgo had a pretty solid game, stepping up after making some questionable decisions in previous games. Really, really great from Gavin. And then obviously Rubin, super happy for him to get his goals. But now I beg this team for some consistency. No more roller coaster rides. Let's start picking up some points at home, right?
Yeah, what do you think the difference was going into Austin FC? I mean, we were at the match. We already covered the LA Galaxy match at home, where it was just a complete fall apart, where Real Salt Lake was kind of showing out, playing better than the Galaxy, and then they go on to score two goals within probably 2 minutes. What do you think it was for the team just collectively just kind of going into Austin? What kind of differences do you guys think Real Salt Lake headed into this one, whether it's like a mindset shift or something that Pablo had said, or just collectively from the players? Like, was there anything that kind of stood out to you guys that was a little bit different?
I think we finished chances early, right? We got the first goal. I know we did against LA, but we converted our chances. No, we didn't against LA. Yes, yeah, I can't remember. My timeline's all skewed. But yeah, we finished our chances, right? For me, that's the biggest thing.
And I'm to piggyback off of that, Rouse Lake have only scored first in four games this season, and they've been able to pull results in each of those four. The three wins and one draw off of scoring first. Yes, I think on the offensive end, it's all about taking your opportunities and being clinical in front of a goal. In the first half is still kind of a blur because of the delay, right? I don't really remember a lot from the first, but in the second half, they didn't let up, right? Rouse Lake was still going for it. They were still looking for opportunities, and it came late, but it came, right? And we still were able to get another one on the board, which I think was huge. Going up 2-0 on the road is a lot different than Austin coming back and pulling one back first, right? I also think another big difference in this one was Brian Ojeda stepping up a lot since he's kind of lost that starting spot to Jasper Lofelsen. Ojeda played a huge part in the midfield as to why this team was so strong defensively, as well as finding those opportunities on the offensive end. And I also want to point out Justin Glad. I think Justin Glad had a tremendous game, and it shows just how important Justin is to that back line, going from that 5-minute collapse to LA to being able to hold on the 1-0 lead and then the 2-0 lead in Austin. I think it's huge credit to the kind of the leadership that Justin has.
Yeah, it's a good point. Justin Glad finally coming back into the lineup for Austin FC. And yeah, you can see the notable difference with Justin Glad on and off the field. Now, the big thing that affected this game too was going into a 40-minute weather delay well before the second half. I feel like those can go either way, right? It could either be a real positive or a real negative. You could be picking up momentum, or it could just kind of hinder your ability to go in and continue to play that you were, because it's tactically, the team's going to go back into the locker room and they're going to talk about it, right? The coaches are going to adjust. Do you guys feel like obviously we know what the result was. But were you guys kind of nervous going into the weather delay break as Real Salt Lake had the lead early on?
I mean, not necessarily. I feel like anytime there's like a weather delay, Real Salt Lake usually does a pretty good job of coming back out and either holding on to a lead or going in and being on the front foot and looking for that lead. I think coming back, obviously you don't really see much as they only played like 10 minutes in that first. But like I said, in the second half, just really stepping up defensively and still attacking on the other end. I think weather delays usually work in Rouse Lake's favor.
It's still stressful, though. You're always worried about, you know, the guys losing focus in the locker room, how long you're sitting there, how long you can stay warm. And again, you're away from home. So, you know, they start thinking about, oh, man, this is going to be a late flight home. You know, all those things can pile up. So all credit to Pablo and the staff and the guys for keeping the focus, right? And coming out and kind of taking advantage, because you have to wonder if Atlanta kind of – or not Atlanta. Man, what is my issue today? If Austin lost a little bit of that focus, I think another big advantage RSL had was we don't have three players with the same neck tattoo. That's a big one.
Yeah. The angel wings on the back of the neck, huh?
Three guys in their starting 11 have the, they probably went to the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
All for identical. Awesome.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, it's a big boost of confidence, big boost of energy to, I think, get a regular season win, especially over a club like Austin FC. And then clearly this had just a big impact in the rankings, where Real Salt Lake all of a sudden went from, you know, second worst in the Western Conference up to the ninth spot to not necessarily secure a playoff spot, but actually be in the running just above the line again. Another mention, you know, back to the way that things could have gone for Real Salt Lake. And this one, it was, you know, right after, I wouldn't say right after the goal, but just close to stoppage time, Austin FC actually had a pretty good opportunity to basically pull back another goal and just tie it up. And it was the difference between going home with three points versus one. Because Austin defender Julio Cascante had a header right at the last minute that just went right in, you know, right in front of the net. And I think there was like a huge save also by Gavin Beavers there at the end to basically secure it. So overall, I'm just impressed with the way that Real Salt Lake played against Austin. And I really don't have any complaints. I think we have to look at this just positively. I think in past conversations in different seasons, we would have said, well, we deserve to maybe like win by more goals, or it should have been 3-1, 4-1, more chances. But at this moment in time, we got to take every single win and treat it like it's a 10-1 win, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We're going back. I'm not saying like we're going back on the road, or what I mean is we're going back to, that wouldn't even make sense. We're coming back home to play against the team that basically stole 3 points here at America First Field. LA Galaxy, Open Cup on Wednesday. And if you guys don't have anything else to say about the Austin match, we can move on to that and kind of preview that and talk about our feelings there.
Yeah, let's get after it.
Cool. So at this point, Open Cup, how serious do you feel like MLS teams are now taking this competition?
It's getting to the point of very serious, right? If you're still in it, you're that close to a trophy, you have to take it serious at this point. There's no reason to not. So I wouldn't be shocked to see LA coming out with a fairly strong lineup as well on Wednesday against RSL, who I also expect a very strong lineup out of.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in the final eight, when you're in the quarterfinals, it's a different conversation, right? When you're in the second or third round, it's still, the final is still a long ways away. Teams probably still playing USL teams, so you don't really take it as serious. But now you're in the final eight, right? You're three games away from holding up a piece of silverware. You got to be taking it serious at this point of the season. I know Galaxy will. They didn't have a game this past weekend, so I guarantee they're coming at us with the strongest, hardest 11 that they have. And I hope we do the same, especially after, because we need a little bit of redemption from that 3-2 loss here at home, not even a week ago. And yeah, it's your three games away. Take it serious. Put your best out there.
And again, like you said, you can't lose to the Galaxy at home twice in a row. Like, that's unacceptable. So hopefully the guys have that chip on their shoulder and really come out with some fire on Wednesday night.
Yeah. You guys are feeling like LA Galaxy are going to show up for this match.
Yes.
Roster wise.
100%.
No reason to not. Yeah.
So here's how we're looking. So Central, these are basically kind of split up into like four different divisions. You got Central, West, Northeast, and Southeast. Central, you've got Chicago Fire and Houston Dynamo, FC. They're going to be duking it out for that position to move on to the semifinals. In the West, you've got Real Salt Lake versus LA Galaxy, which is always a fun matchup. And they should have Chicharito back and ready, man, back and healthy. Isaac and I, we're going to be gone this weekend, but now that we say Chicharito, we might have to make that match on Wednesday. Right, Isaac? Maybe?
Definitely. I think so.
All right.
He's nothing Justin Glad can't handle, man.
Yeah, okay.
Patrick incoming for Chicharito.
Yeah. And then in the Northeast Division, we've got FC Cincinnati versus Pittsburgh Riverhounds SC. And then in the Southeast, we've got Birmingham Legion FC versus Inter Miami CF. Club de Football, I would presume is what that means. So just looking at this, in the final eight, six of those are MLS teams. And pretty decent teams. I mean, obviously LAFC was eliminated by the Galaxy, only because LAFC were probably way more focused on CONCACAF Champions League, which, by the way, they lost to Leon. Leon absolutely just shutting them down, dude. Is it still California, the Bank Stadium, or Bank to California Stadium? What is it, Alex?
No, it's BMO Stadium now.
What is it?
BMO.
BMO, my bad. BMO. BMO Stadium, just absolutely shut down. And this is after, I'm trying to remember the name of the player. Who was the player that had said that Mexican teams aren't tactical? They play more so off of emotions.
Tim Tillman.
That's right. Tim Tillman, but prior to the tournament starting, was being interviewed, and they kind of threw it all over Twitter. LAFC player just basically saying, hey, these Mexican teams aren't tactical. They're more emotional. They still have great forwards, great talent up front, but you know this. They should be able to pull results. They lose on the road, pull one back late. The aggregate is at 3-1, so they're already coming down into this match. Two goals. Was it 2-1 or 3-1? 2-1.
2-1.
2-1. So it tells you how much attention I'm paying to LAFC, but. They come here, man, and they're just outcoached, outplayed, no real strong opportunities. Carlos Vela got subbed off. Your star key player gets subbed off versus a Leon team. It just wasn't the LAFC of the MLS that we know. And we know that they wanted to win that trophy because so far, Seattle's the only team that has won that competition. Leon. Sixth place in Liga MX. They had beat Tigres, the former champions, to make it to this qualifier or final, excuse me. And they just shut down LAFC.
Well, and I think it's funny because me and Josh were having a conversation about it on Wednesday during the LA Galaxy match, and we were talking about how inconsistent Leon is and was heading into this game. But I think it was more of the tune that I don't think Steve Cherundolo really set up his team how he usually does, and Leon kind of picked it apart. I think he experimented too much with the lineup. He came out with a 5 in the back instead of his regular 4-3-3, and didn't really assert his tactics and his dominance in this one. I think LA got maybe we're a little overconfident heading into this one against Leon due to the Leon just being too inconsistent.
Yeah. But I mean, even with Leon being inconsistent, and this was such a weird match to watch where every opportunity was just fluffed. The defending was great on Leon's part. I mean, LAFC really could not get any chances like on frame. I'd be curious to see what the stats look like head to head. But the fact of the matter is the 32-52 LAFC, very humbled, losing at home. And there's no worse feeling than watching another team lift a trophy in your home stadium. It's unfortunate. As somebody who supports MLS and supports MLS side, I mean, we all come together during tournaments like that, and we would like to see MLS teams win. But in this instance, I don't really feel like the camaraderie was there because I don't think a lot of people support LAFC at the end of the day, whether they're MLS or not.
No, I think the league was against him a bit on this one, especially since Seattle's finally won it, right? That chip is off MLS's shoulder. Yeah.
But I heard the contrary. I heard that the scheduling was actually, people felt like MLS's scheduling was actually favoring LAFC to kind of be rested.
I'm not saying MLS. I'm saying the fans, right? The collective fans of MLS usually cheer for the MLS side once everyone's been eliminated, but I don't think this time that was the case. I really don't.
I hear you. So some notes here from Junior Producer. They threw a beer at Leon player who scored the goal. It's just not shocking. It's not surprising. I don't even think that's really a fan base thing. I really think that's just like a Southern California thing, dude. Like, you're going to get showered in beer. Well, I guess showered in beer and goal celebrations is different than having like beer actually thrown at you.
I mean, Raimondo did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, they were throwing it at a Leon player, so it's not like they were celebrating.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Another notable mention, noteworthy mention, one of the teams that we mentioned here is Inter Miami. They've got a new head coach, Javier Morales, dude, Real Salt Lake legend, bro. Soon to be coaching probably Lionel Messi. How wild is that? Or how wild would that be? As there's like, you know, there's all the rumors, bro, where's Messi going to end up next and yada, yada. Inter Miami is one of those teams in the conversation. But the Saudi teams are like definitely pulling out all the stops to make that happen. However, Javier Morales makes coaching debut against DC United. And 3 minutes in, there's a red card and he goes down to 10 men. So it's a tough showing. However, Javier Morales still manages to pull a... It's like a decent result being down 10 men from the third minute, dude. He only lost 2-1. And I think, you know, it's not a desirable outcome for your first showing, but if you can maintain a 2-1 with 10 men, I think you're on a good track there. I think that's a good showing out. Would you guys disagree or agree with that?
For his first head coaching stop or gig, Not bad. It's good, especially when you're playing over 90 minutes of this match without 11 guys on the field. It's good. And then the goals, too. I don't know if you guys saw any of them, but the goals, too, were, like, not great goals. It was just kind of bad defending overall. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of happens next game, and hopefully they can stay with 11 men.
Yeah, and of course, he's going to need some time, right, to kind of put his philosophies into place to really make an impact on that team. So, you know, hopefully they're patient with him and maybe give him a shot. Who knows, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Beckham owes it to him for the final. So,
yeah. And you're right, Alex. Like, the two goals from DC weren't too impressive. And if I'm thinking correctly, I want to say that Ian Frey's goal was actually pretty...
Golazo.
Yeah, it was a banger, dude. I'm watching it. I'm going to rewatch it right now. Maybe you can hear it here. Play to the top. 90 seconds, yeah. Yeah, just a super strike. Finds the bottom of the net, left corner. Golazo, but it's not enough. Scored in the 92nd minute in stoppage. But yeah, man, it's going to be a fun showing out just to kind of see how players... actually for Javier Morales, it's different. A lot of players turned coach just kind of take that opportunity without necessarily much preparation. But this is a dude who said, you know what? I want to go and get all of my, my coaching accolades. I want to do it right. I want to come up within a system. And that's what he's been doing. And so now it's, you know, he was quoted saying that, like, this isn't the way that I, you know, under these circumstances, this isn't the way that I wanted to become a head coach. But even when questioned about his, like, philosophies and, like, his tactics and all that, like, he just kind of gave small responses because at the end of the day, like, you're not very prepared to just undergo a coaching change, be made the head coach, and then be ready in time and have your philosophy rub off on players. But one thing that I did notice, man, is like, on that roster, you've got players like Leonardo Campana, you've got Yosef Martinez, you got some big names. And one thing that I don't think that people understand is that a lot of the younger forwards or the star athletes, they do pay their respects to Javier Morales. Like, they know this is a skilled player. This is somebody who's who was in Major League Soccer forever, who made a direct impact, who's got great style of play, is Argentinian. The respect is there. So I don't think he's going to have a hard time getting or earning the respect or being seen as an authoritative figure. So to go out and get a 2-1 loss with 10 men and just being able to pull back a goal, good on him. It's going to be really interesting. And I mean, hell, if he does good there and maybe we need a coach in a few years here at RSL, you know, he's going to hold a soft spot for us. So I like it. I really, really like this for Javi. Really, really happy for him.
I just want him to come home.
You just want him to come home?
Yeah, I want him to come home.
Yeah.
We owe him so much.
Yeah.
Right?
We do.
Exactly.
Seeing Santi play for a different club, like, it's painful. Right? He should be repping RSL right now. So.
Yeah. So in other Major League Soccer news, unless you guys have anything else on the Real Salt Lake side, any dirt boys, anything that we should bring to light? Any complaints? Any anything?
No, I'm gonna hold my salt for now. What, should we do predictions though?
Yeah, let's go ahead and pull that up as I pull up the standings here, and we talk a little bit of MLS. Yeah, how are we gonna do against the Galaxy? Let's start with Isaac. Isaac, what's your prediction, bro? What do you think of?
Well, yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a reverse of what LA Galaxy did to us. So it'll be 3-2 Real Salt Lake this time. That's what I'm going with.
I like that.
Okay. I think, I think we'll have our strongest lineup out there. Like I said, missing Justin Glad in the back line made a huge difference. It's a tough one just because it's so inconsistent. It's so hard to predict with this team right now. But I'm gonna go with a 2-1 RSL win to advance to the semifinals of the US Open Cup.
Wow. Bold, bro. Bold.
I'm gonna do 5-1 Chicharito red card.
Really?
5-1 RSL.
5-1 for RSL.
Yeah, with Chicharito red card. Second yellow after a goal celebration where he takes his shirt off with the one goal.
The worst red card you can get.
Yep. Has Chicharito's name written all over it.
I think for me, I'm going to say, coming off hot off of Austin, we want a little bit of revenge. The players are warm. Doesn't seem like there's any issues or, you know, no red cards, no major injuries. I would say we should be fresh and we should be ready. And I think it's going to go in favor of RSL. But I also think, man, I think it's going to come down to the energy of the crowd, dude. Like, if it's just a dead game and there's like maybe 3/4 of the stadium filled up, I think that could maybe bring some trouble for us. I think if the energy is good and people are actually showing out and they show that they care, they show the team that the fans care, I think that'll just up the momentum for Real Salt Lake. So I'm hoping for I want to see like a 2-0 loss, dude. I want to see a shutout. I want to see Beavers in. I hope it's Beavers. And I think I want to see Demir involved, man. I want to see Demir get his goal so he could just kind of get that, monkey off his back. Alex, you had something to say regarding NYCFC. Go ahead and fill us in. What's going on, dude?
Oh, they're just having a very poor part of the season right now, and we have them here on Saturday. So I want to see what you guys' predictions are for Saturday's game as well.
Well, see, that scares me, right? Another poor team coming in looking to right their ship against RSL at home. Things you didn't think you'd really ever say, right? But that one makes me nervous too. But if we play like RSL can play, like we know they can play, we should handle them just fine. But the worry's there, the doubt's there. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if the team can get over their doubt Wednesday, then maybe we'll be fine Saturday. But if Wednesday doesn't go according to plan, Saturday could be, you know, really troublesome. And again, another trap game for RSL.
It's just so interesting to see kind of the difference of how well, how solid we can be on the road and then how kind of shaky this team has been at home this year. I agree. I think a lot of it will fall on how RSL does in the Open Cup on Wednesday. But still, this is a New York City FC team who haven't won a game since mid-April. They're just completely falling apart at the moment. Similar to Galaxy coming into this last game at America First. Like Josh said, I just hope we can get things going at home because that's where we need the most points right now. And hopefully New York City would be a good test for that to see kind of where this team really is at home at this point of the season.
Do we know if Richie Ledesma is allowed to play against us, or do you think they have one of those clauses that says he can't play against us?
I think all intra MLS loans say you can't. So I don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure he won't be available.
Interesting. Because that would be an interesting dynamic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have been fun, actually. That would have been fun to see. Now, okay. Maybe you guys know. The last time we played New York City FC, the last time we played them, does anybody remember the scoreline?
It was it was on Easter Sunday, and it was 6-0, right?
It was 6. Let me go ahead and pull it up here.
Should have been 6-1. It's when Demir hurt his back and was out for a whole year.
Yeah,
and it was
Demir's last game. So
6-0, bro. 6-0.
I just remember Demir hurting himself.
And I believe that was the match, dude. I think that was the match that our boy, oh man, I just called him our boy, the Mexican defender, young dude who was playing for us.
Hazi.
I believe he was playing that match, and they were just getting whipped on. No, not the same match.
Yes, it was that match. It was Hazi's Hazi's last game as a starter, I think.
It was such an unfair, like, it just depended on him. Because dangerous-ass team. They had Tati Castellanos, bro. He had 4 goals. 2 from the field, 2 from the spot, penalty spot, right? Tati Castellanos, dude, just fresh off of a freaking championship, bro. And we're playing in NYCFC. We're playing in their stadium. And I can't remember. I don't think it was his first showing for Haciel. But it was like one of the first few matches that he like took a defender side for us. Well, the defender position starting is what I mean. Gets lit up, and then they just pull him off. And then we never see him or much of him again. I think it's an unfair shake. No?
No, absolutely.
I 100% agree. That game, that whatever collapse Rouselik had that day was far from Hazi's fault.
Exactly.
And I remember tweeting. I was like, I will not accept Haziel slander because it was far from just Hazi. Maybe he made one mistake that I can think of off the top of my head, but yeah, ultimately it was just a total. Yeah, it was just ultimately a total collapse from Rouselik in that one.
Yeah, Josh, what did you say, dude? I didn't hear you.
I was just saying that he gave up one of the penalties that match.
That's right.
Yeah, man, but it honestly looked like we had, you know, 9 Luke Mulholland's on the field. Like, it wasn't great.
No. It just wasn't. Yeah, anytime there's 6 on the field, bro, like, I don't know. You can't pin that, man. You just can't pin it. Or pin it. My bad. Another interesting thing that I had seen on... this actually came out of the Facebook group for Real Salt Lake fans. I think it's Salt Lake Till We Die. Somebody posted screenshots of LA Galaxy, like an LA Galaxy Facebook group, proactively talking about how good Diego Luna is. Like somebody literally saying, hey, is anybody watching the U20? Diego Luna. Yeah, maybe he's a little bit shorter, stockier, but like he's lighting people up. And then in that same group of LA Galaxy fans that are wanting to snag him, they're also like, yeah, hey, Real Salt Lake's not doing anything with him. Like, he would be a better fit here. When you have fan bases, not even just commentators or your actual own fan base, begging you and pleading you to play this dude and to give him more minutes. When you have other fan bases that are saying, like, when they're noticing somebody and they're like, hey, this guy would be good here. What's the disconnect here?
It's all the formation. We don't play a formation that fits him. So in order for us to get the best out of Diego Luna, we'd have to change our formation. And I'm all about it. But will the coaching staff do it? I highly doubt it.
Well, and I'm going to play the flip side of the coin and say maybe he too was just solely focused on the U20 World Cup. And that's probably why Pablo was kind of hesitant to play him. Because there are moments where you would go to practice and you would see him kind of with his head down, not contributing probably how they expected him to. And because, like I said, he was solely focused on the U20. He knew that the U20 was coming up. That's where he was going to go. That's where he was going to give it 100%. Now coming back, hopefully we see that same 100% from him and that attitude shift to say, okay, now I'm going to give my 100% to Real Salt Lake and see what happens from there.
Do you think Diego Luna is over Real Salt Lake? If you know that you're this good and other people are saying it about you, what is he feeling? Does he even want to be here any longer, or does he know that he's better and he can outgrow this place and go somewhere else?
That's a tricky one.
Like, what's his attitude?
That's a tricky one because he's had been in front of mics before and he has said that his ultimate goal is to get that new, the next move, right? Make that jump to Europe. And while I'm all for it, I would love to see him go to Europe. I'd love to see him thrive and be, you know, a top player. It also makes you question how committed he is to Real Salt Lake at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a guy looking for a big move to Europe, you think he would want to thrive with his club locally and domestically, right? And prove that he's good enough to be sold, right? Like, you can have a good showing at the U20 World Cup, but like we've talked about before, if a club's looking at you, they're not looking at you solely on your international appearance, right, for your national team. They want to see how you perform for your club, and a bigger team could be perplexed, like, hey, man, you know, you showed really well at the U20s, but why did you get 25 minutes, you know, for the league, like in the league with RSL? Like, what's going on there? Right. So that could really hold him up as well. So you hope he comes back, you know, riding the momentum of the U20 World Cup, where he had a very good showing and really puts in the work to get minutes for RSL so he can get moved on and be a record transfer fee or whatever.
Agreed. Well, guys, there was a lot of action over the weekend with Major League Soccer. Hopefully, everyone's still loving the Apple deal. I feel like I actually am enjoying it. Let's get a pulse around the room. Do you guys like the Apple deal, like all the stuff that's coming out of MLS and Apple?
I like the MLS 360 or whatever it is, like, that shows all the games. I love that. I absolutely love that. And I like the MLS Rewind. I wish they would do some more Sunday games, right, just to spread it out. But overall, it's been nice having it centrally, right, and being able to watch everyone. I think that's been a huge plus for me.
Yeah, and I 100% agreed. It's really good. It's a really good product for the first year, right? It's a 10-year deal. There's still a long way to go, a lot of changes, a lot of ways to adapt it and make it better. But ultimately, for the first year of the product, I think it's really, really great. I love 360. Wrap-up and review is also very, very good. I just want to see more club content now. Start focusing on the documentary, start focusing on the profiles, stuff like that, and start going in-depth to the clubs, because I would love to start seeing that too.
Yeah, and I would think that's probably a task for the offseason, man, because now when you think about it, all of the matches kind of following or basically following like on a following on a Saturday or Sunday, with the exception of a few matches that might be midweek. You've got U.S. Open Cup. You've got all this travel. It's almost hard to, you know, where do they find the time to execute or find players to be available for like that docu-series, which I'm all about. I want to see that. But it's also, where do you find the time between traveling and all of that, right?
I think... sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, dude.
No, I was going to say, I think instead of, you know, multiple teams, they need to focus on one at a time and just go through the teams. Maybe do a month at a time with the team and have someone with the team. I think that's really the only way you make that happen right now.
Yeah.
Barring you're spending, you know, $1 billion on different crews and things like that to follow multiple teams. But
so MLS Saturday, June 3rd, week, I always get mixed up, man. Maybe week 16, 17.
Sure.
Sounds all right.
Like that. Sounds about right. Let's just go over the full results. Let's talk about a few of these matches and maybe we caught some highlights. So, hopefully you guys like the segment. This is one of my favorite. I like talking about what happened around the league. So New York City FC, New England, 0 draw. Who cares? Seattle Sounders in Portland, 0 draw. Makes me happy when those teams just become stagnant. DC United pulled the win, like we mentioned before, 2-1 over Inter Miami. Inter Miami going down 10 men in the third minute. Due to a red card. And then we've got Orlando City, 3 goals over New York Red Bulls, 3-0 full time. Alex, you're shaking your head, bro.
I don't know what's going on with Red Bulls, bro. On paper, they should be a top team. They have so much talent around that roster, and they just can't pull it together.
You got Philadelphia, your second favorite MLS team, Alex. 3-0 over Montreal. You got Cincinnati getting a result, 1-0 over Chicago. You got Columbus and Charlotte. Columbus Crew, man. Good, great team. I think, was it Tom Bogart that said that they are the funnest team to watch? I know it was one of the MLS analysts.
Yeah.
4-2 over Charlotte FC. I agree, dude. Lucas Zelarayan, Gucho, dude, like it's just pure Latino talent, bro. Pure Latino fury, dude. Week in, week out. From Columbus Crew. Real Salt Lake 2-1 over Austin. No one saw that coming. We literally didn't see that coming.
No.
We didn't. Minnesota Toronto 1-1 draw. Snooze fest. Nashville SC over FC Dallas, 2-1. Again, great result there. I love it when West teams lose and we win because it does a lot for the tables. St. Louis City. And if you guys are curious on St. Louis City, they do capitalize City on purpose. I learned that. Somebody asked that on Twitter, and then I looked into it. They capitalize full caps, just the word City, on St. Louis City. 3-0 over Houston Dynamo, dude.
Did you guys see the drama in that one?
No. I think they were like, they were just kind of pushing each other around, right?
Yeah, there was like a fight that broke out, and then Ivan Franco comes and like takes a guy down in a chokehold, and then he gets sent off, and then VAR steps in, and he's like, that's actually not a red card, so Ivan Franco has to come back out from the locker room to finish the game. It was a mess, but I loved it.
Oh, man, that's so much fun, dude. St. Louis City, man, also a fun team to watch, dude. I think, dude, that's a contender, bro. Like, if things go their way, come the playoffs, that's going to be a team that has an absolute shot at winning an MLS Cup. Like, you see all the highlights and you see just like the team unity, man, just even like the fans, the stadium, bro, like they've got it, man. Like they've got something special out there.
And I think most importantly is that they're pulling off wins without draw close.
Yeah. Exactly, bro. St. Louis City. Just doing the work, bro. Doing the work. Colorado and San Jose, 0-0. I'll take that all day, bro. Take those 1 points. Right? Those are good, right? We like those.
And then, yeah, I mean, I want Colorado to lose everything, but I'll take a draw.
Yeah, I'll take a draw, man. And then Vancouver and SKC, man, pulling a 1-1 result. Yeah, that was an Alan Pulido goal, man. I'm trying to remember in my head how it went. What was his goal like, dude? I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to play back the highlight in my head. But anyways, Alan Pulido, if you guys know, Mexican forward, one of their key players, was off the pitch for a long time. He's just kind of getting integrated back into the system, just how Demir Krylak would be, basically. Except he's coming back and he's finally pulling back some goals. So SKC is happy about that one, but still, 1-1, it's not enough. So a lot of ties around the league on Saturday play. The same time as the Open Cup is being played, LAFC will be taking on Atlanta United. And then it looks like there's a suspended match between FC Dallas and St. Louis on Wednesday. I'm not sure as to the reason. Does anybody in here know why?
Yeah, so that one was actually played up until, I want to say, the 40th minute. And then they had to abandon it due to weather. So they're going to restart it from wherever they finished and finish that game, which a lot of FC Dallas and St. Louis fans were not happy with because they already have a congested schedule, and then they put it right in the middle of probably one of the busiest months in Major League Soccer. But they have to go and finish that game.
Wow. That does not happen often. Does not happen often. All right. Let's go ahead and talk league standings real quick. Guys, this is exactly what I was talking about, man. Should be no surprise. St. Louis City SC Western Conference. We'll start there. St. Louis City sitting first place. Seattle Sounders second. LAFC third. And then let's just drop down to eighth and ninth place. Austin FC just above Real Salt Lake. And then let's name the last five teams on the table. Houston Dynamo 10th. Portland 11th. SKC 12, Colorado 13, and sitting in dead last, our Open Cup opponents, LA Galaxy.
You know you can never take power rankings seriously when almost all of those teams you just named are above us in the power rankings.
I don't know, though, man. I feel like the power rankings are usually...
They're dumb.
They are stupid, but often for our team, they tend to be right.
Sometimes. I don't know that we're 27th in the power rankings, though. That seems a bit harsh, but I digress.
A little bit. All right. Yeah. Eastern Conference. Cincinnati, man, sitting first place. It's weird.
Dark horse. I still don't know if they're a good team or not. They're very, very solid defensively, because I think every single one of their wins is a 1-0 win. But their attack has kind of fallen down a lot from last year. Last year, Brenner and Vasquez were scoring every game. Lucho Costa was assisting every game. They were scoring like 3-4 goals a game. And now you're just getting away with these 1-0 wins, which all credit to them. But maybe I need to see a little bit more from Cincinnati before I decide they're a good team.
Yeah. Nashville sitting in second. Philadelphia Union third. Let's go back to down to like the eighth and ninth spot. So eighth is Orlando City. Charlotte FC is ninth. And it makes you wonder, is Real Salt Lake a better team than Charlotte, or is, you know, vice versa? The last five teams sitting in the Eastern Conference is Montreal 10th, New York Red Bulls 11th, Toronto 12th, New York City 13th, dude. Chicago 14th, and Inter Miami 15th. Guys, if we're looking at the tables, we got to beat LA Galaxy, and we've got to beat NYCFC.
We have to. There's no question about it. We have to.
No question. Granted, a few things went favorably for us, and we jumped up to ninth, but assessing both of those teams, we should win. But LA Galaxy did just come here and kicked our ass with no chicharito. All right. Guys, with that, we will conclude. We have our predictions. We've got everything we've got as far as Real Salt Lake and the league. Also, just out of left field, LAFC Edge, which seems to be just like a LAFC, could be a fan blog. They could be a, I don't know. They could be a fan base, a fan Twitter. I don't know. They got a pretty decent following. LAFC Edge says, first time I've ever said this, but it's time to make some big changes. Vela needs to free up the DP spot. It's time. It's hard for me to say. It's still a legend in all respects. So, guys, can we be witnessing the collapse and the downfall of LAFC in real time?
I don't think it's the downfall or collapse, but I think Vela's time as the dominant force in LA is over.
I almost would agree. I think it started last year with the injuries. He spent a lot of 2021 and 2022 battling injuries in and out of the lineup a lot. This year, I mean, he looks better, but he's still not creating and scoring as much as he was in 2022, 2019, etc. It could be possibly time to maybe think about overhauling that roster, bringing in younger guys. You look at guys like Ilya Sanchez, who's very important to that team, who's aging. Carlos Vela, who's very important to the team, is aging. Maybe it's time to look at bringing in younger talent.
With that being said, you got Boanga, 28 years old. Still very young to me, but old. Isn't that weird? Isaac, you're 27, bro. You're old by MLS standards.
Yeah, I'm old.
Pretty old. Yeah, I think it's time, man. Yeah, we'll see what LAFC does, which could always be exciting because they've got the money, right? And they've got the pool, and they've got all these things going for them. With that, we conclude. Ibrahimovic retires from football. Actually, other way around, football retires from Zlatan.
There you go.
Facts.
They gave him a they gave him a such a cool goodbye, the Tifo Rec godbye, not goodbye. Did you guys see that?
No, that's awesome though.
Bro, yeah, instead of like it's big white lettering and instead of GOODBYE, they wrote GODBYE, which is pretty hilarious. And then so it says godbye. Tearful goodbye from him. But yeah, it's just the end of his reign, man. He's just I don't know, bro. I love him. I love the ego. I loved him at Galaxy. Couldn't get it done here. Not his fault. But one of the truly, like, one of the best players, I think, to walk the planet as well.
Absolutely. One of a kind as well. Like, you know, the ego, the crazy goals, like, that's going to be hard to replicate. I don't think anyone ever will fully.
Cool. Alex, right. You had something, bro?
Oh, no. I was just going to say we'll never see anything like Zlatan ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man. All right, guys. Oh, real quickly, Sneaky Fox FC, honorable mention, man. We had Raimondo and Winger playing in the soccer. It's just the soccer tournament, right, TST?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Highly entertaining.
Highly entertaining. 7-7 aside. Ex-players, current players, players from like retired teams. I mean, it was just this whole league playing for $1 million. I can't tell you who won, but Sneaky Fox FC went out there. I think Raimondo ended up hurting his calf, couldn't play. But what a cool concept, man. And it was just a lot of fun to see those plays and all those things happening within the soccer community. So shout out Nick Raimondo, Sneaky Fox FC, semifinalists. Hopefully you guys can go back out there and make the fan base proud, bro. You guys got a fan.
Sneaky Fox FC. Maybe next year we can get some investors and get a Saltair FC fielded team out there.
Yeah, dude. All you got to do is just pick up the phone, bro. Start dialing.
New ownership.
That'd be sick.
New ownership. That's right. Josh at the helm, bro. Okay, guys, that's it. RSL show on KSL Sports. Go hit up SaltairFC.com. Saltair Football Club is back. Try and, to sink them. 1925. Go ahead, Josh.
And the jersey that's in the works, I shouldn't be saying anything, but the jersey that's coming out is ridiculously cool. So keep your eyes out.
You heard it there first. Okay. That's it, guys. That's it from RSL show on KSL Sports. Look for us on Twitter, IG, Facebook, and YouTube. See you guys on the next one. Later, later, later.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.